the Ulster Unionist Party's John Stewart joining us this morning. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Your party has decided to go back into government. Why was it more effective? Your party leader, Steve Aiken, said it's very clear the mood of the people is to get effective government back, and the best way to hold Sinn Féin and the DP to account is by the Ulster Unionist Party being in the executive. Why was the best way to hold them to account not being in an official opposition?
Well, clearly, Stephen, there was a discussion about this, but we felt that, on balance, being able to be in, working collectively for to deliver the greater good, but also to see how things were working within the executive, that the Ulster Unionist Party as part of a five-party executive would be a better place to do that by actually seeing what was going on a day-to-day basis within the executive.
But an opposition is a normal part of any democratic system. As you look at political systems across the world, there's usually an opposition. If you were confident in yourselves, could you not have been a very powerful opposition?
We could certainly have done that, yes. And as you will be aware, in 2016, when the executive was reformed at that stage, the Ulster Unionist Party was in the opposition with the SDLP and was effective enough in sadly bringing it down 9 months later. But there is also the opportunity to hold parties to account from within as well, and under assurances that have hopefully been will be adhered to, that we are willing to give that a go in the executive.
So you have a fundamental opposition to what is now proposed around legacy. You have a fundamental opposition as to what is proposed around an Irish Language Act. And yet you're now part of the executive implementing that.
We have concerns and have a clear policy against the legacy introductions under the HIU, and we have been vocal against that as party policy for a long time now. There are bits of the deal that are fantastic and quite a bit of it we want to see implemented, but like other parties have indicated, there are bits of the deal that we cannot support, and we will be vocally opposed to those from within. We are there within the executive by right because of our party strength, and that ministerial position is there because of that and allocated to us under the Hunt, and we'll be continuing to be vocal about the issues that we are opposed to. There are other parties as well waxing lyrical about the issues they have with the deal who are signed up to it. That is just the nature of politics in Northern Ireland.
And are you confident that it was the right decision to go into an executive before getting a commitment to the amount of money
I think
you were giving?
This is about trust, Stephen, and I think every party has had to take the British government, the Secretary of State, and the Minister on trust, and assurances were made under the commitments that have been laid out within the agreements, of which there is clearly a large amount of money required to implement those. That money will be forthcoming. I am hopeful that we will hear that today after the arrival of Boris Johnson and the Taoiseach, that the money will be laid out and how that will be coming forward. But certainly it would be a huge breach of trust if that wasn't to come forward.
And if it didn't come forward, does the Ulster Unionist Party hold out the option of walking away again? Or is that those days over?
That option is afforded to any of the smaller parties. The position of opposition will still be there. And I think that's one of the things that we said from the outset when we went in, is that if things don't change, one of the reasons that we'd let before was that the elements around transparency, of sustainability, one of your contributors talked about minute taking and the lack of protocol that was being carried through in the executive previously. If those things don't change, then we'll have to look very strongly at that to see whether that's an option to go out. And that is still afforded within the deal that parties can leave and go into opposition. So trust is there. I think as a party, we are confident. We like the music that we're hearing about all parties working together as collective responsibility of the new executive, but we have to see those changes.
Okay, so collective responsibility is interesting. Your party has taken on the health brief, one of the most difficult departments in the executive. Will the nurses have it confirmed to them this week by your former leader, now Minister for Health, Robin Swan, that pay parity is in place?
Well, let's say first of all that our party had prioritised health as our number one choice whenever we decided over the weekend to go into the executive, and I am surprised that other parties ducked that. We took that on as the party of health, and we are delighted to hold that, and I think Robin Swan is someone I've worked with for a long time, will be an excellent Minister of Health. I haven't been speaking to him about this.
How is he? Just on that, and sorry for interrupting, but
okay.
I think there's a an obvious question around Robin Swan. Uh-huh. He said just a couple of months ago he stood down as leader of your party because he wanted to spend more time with his family. How does a man who wants to spend more time with his family take on the brief of Minister for Health?
I suppose that is something you'd have to ask him. I suppose he's had a few months now on the back of what was a very difficult time and challenging time as a leader. There is a huge amount of work as a party leader, as you can imagine. Not that there won't be with being the Minister for Health, but he's had a few months, I think, to get things together, and he's in a position now to take on what is a very significant portfolio. But just to go back to your previous question, we didn't duck health. It was our number one priority of ministerial choices. We didn't expect to get it, but when we did, we were delighted to have it. You talk about the pay parity. That is an issue that we're dedicated to resolving. I understand that...
Is it not already resolved?
Well, all parties have signed up and committed to see pay parity resolved, but I think Robin, as minister, seeing through in a press statement put out yesterday, we'll be meeting with the unions, I think, today or tomorrow. I expect to see that resolved imminently.
And John, can I get your party's understanding around the Irish Language Bill? Mm-hmm. So we have had the DUP say publicly on the programme on Friday through Sir Geoffrey Donaldson that Arlene Foster, in her role as First Minister, holds effectively a veto over anything that a new Irish Language Commissioner can do, because any of the best practice standards that an Irish Language Commissioner tries to set down need to be signed off jointly by the First and Deputy First Minister, by Arlene Foster and Michelle O'Neill. Is it your understanding that unionism hold the key, that the Irish Language Commissioner cannot do anything without unionist approval, or is that not your party's understanding?
Well, I'm going to say from the outset, we were not privy to any of the discussions around culture or language in the talks that led to the new decade and the approach deal, Stephen. So any of the discussions relating to how that process would work were firmly between the two governments and between Sinn Féin and the DUP.
But you must have read the text, the draft text, before you went into the executive.
But I suppose ambiguity is enough in there to give both that. I think one of the skills behind it, getting it through, was that there was enough ambiguity for both people, both sides, to claim a win. And that is probably why you're saying that both Sinn Féin and the DUP are able to come out and say that the Language Act is enough or enough for one side, or is limited enough for the other to get it through.
Yeah, but you're a political party in your own right. So when your political party, and you're an MLA in your own right, so when your political party read that text, what is your... And having read the text, presumably you didn't go into the executive and then read the deal. You've read the deal, you've read the legislation behind it, and then you've decided to go in. So what is the Ulster Unionist Party's interpretation of the draft legislation around the Irish Language Act?
Is that it would require that both the OFM and OFM-DFM sign off on any changes or any powers that are given to the Commissioner for Irish Language, which would mean, then, by definition, that one side or another could block that. But presumably, I would imagine there are agreements between Sinn Féin and DUP privately. I would imagine it also wouldn't have got to that stage.
Okay. And in terms of legacy, another huge, obvious issue in Northern Ireland, where we've all found it difficult to find compromise between the two communities. Does the Ulster Unionist Party have a position on compromise around that in this new dawn?
Well, in terms of this agreement, we are very concerned that originally the Secretary of State said that legacy would not form part of the deal that come out in new decade new approach, and that is in there. Our party remains firmly opposed to the HIU, and it is concerning to see that that is implemented within this deal, or is proposed to be implemented.
But it's not so concerning that you stayed out.
Again, Stephen, we've rehearsed this. I mean, we are there by rights, and we have things within the document that we're signing up to, and there are things that we will continue to oppose from within, and that is a right that is afforded to parties to do so. And we went in a spirit where there is a huge appetite among the public to see collective engagement in the executive and parties going in and working together to try to resolve issues that they can agree on. But as you will know, in Northern Ireland, there are a number and many issues, in fact, that parties will disagree on. And that is something that we will do from within the executive while holding Sinn Féin and the DUP to account, but working together on the issues that we can all agree on.
Okay. John, do you think there's strings attached finally, as Edmund Poots said, in terms of extra funding coming to Northern Ireland?
I would imagine that the Prime Minister and the Secretary of State would be seeing it as an opportunity to do so. With a great deal of money will probably come a great deal of caveats. They probably won't be able to insist on them, because the money was assured that if a deal was brought forward, that money would come. But it will be one of the intentions to put those on there. I haven't been speaking, and ministers are probably in a better position today to say what those caveats might be, or what those strings might be. But I would imagine that will be something that the Prime Minister is trying to touch on from an early stage.
And the DUP have said potentially there's the potential for Northern Ireland citizens to have to pay water rates as part of getting this money. Sinn Féin has ruled it out. What's the Ulster Union's party's position on water rates?
Our party policy has been against water rates and continues to be.
Is it still?
It's not something it's not something that was contained in the deal. It's not something that was talked about in the talks. Clearly, within infrastructure, there's a mass amount of work that needs to be done. But our current policy is to oppose water rates.
OK. John, thank you very much indeed. Thank you, sir.